This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 23rd of October, 1962. The title of this lecture is 3GA Crisscross, Following the Rock Slam. This tape is 64 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, here we are. This is the second lecture, St. Hill Special Briefing Course, 23 October, 8012. And continuing 3GA Crisscross. As she is cooked, and the recipe, and the subtitle of this lecture is Following the Rock Slam. The tips which were put out on rock slams earlier apply in 3GA Crisscross, and you will find that the preclear interest follows the rock slam. If you can keep the rock slam, you can keep the PC's interest. When you lose the rock slam, you've lost the PC's interest. Now, the cognitions follow the rock slam. We've often wondered back through the antediluvian periods of Dianetics and Scientology, how come Mr. A cognited and Mr. B didn't cognite? And how come Mr. B sat there through 275 hours of auditing without a single cognition? Well, that's because you never came near any rock slams on him. We used to try to get rid of rock slams. Now we try to preserve them. In photography, if you will look at the modern manuals of photography put out as the great pictures of the year, you know, like the German annuals and all that sort of thing, you will see in it that all of the bad features of the photography of 10 years ago and the things that were condemned in the best photographic salons have now become the artistic thing to do today. In other words, they used to think grain was terrible, and now grain is wonderful. And they used to think that out-of-focusness was awful, and now they think it is just the cake. Now, that is a process of being overwhelmed by that which you can't whip. Now, you might say it's almost the same thing today with rock slams. Just a year ago, occasionally you would hear a half-angry, authoritative auditing voice in a session saying, "Floor, floor, floor, floor," trying to turn off the condemned rock slam so he could get on with the game, you see? Not anymore. If I hear anybody using "floor, floor, floor" to turn off a dirty needle or a rock slam during an assessment and so forth, why, I will conclude that he doesn't know how to get in mid-roods and is trying to get the PC a loss, because that's all that's going to happen. Now, a rock slam, when it turns on suddenly and inexplicably in the middle of doing something else, is still a great embarrassment. But you had better find out what turned it on and why. A PC on the rock slam channel, while he's following the rock slam very nicely, and you're doing everything to get him to follow the rock slam, has a tiny withhold. The tiny withhold, if it's in the direction of the rock slam object, of course is just the rock slam reactivated by the withhold. And this makes life more complicated, because it gives us this interesting fact that while you're doing a list and finding the last items on the list, the PC can have a withhold on a certain item which will make it look like it is in when it is not. The rock slam is occurring on the PC's withholder in validation or protest and not on the item. Oh, isn't that grim? Well, that just makes life more interesting, doesn't it? That's a hurdle. This can actually occur, particularly on a PC who incipiently slams on auditors. He just has this one little slight withhold. You're going down this list, everything is fine, and maybe the list is a total blank. Maybe there's nothing on this list. Nothing. Nothing to be found anywhere. It's not going anyplace. And you get down to the last three items, and one of them is a cadaver. And while you read cadaver the last time through, the PC invalidated your auditing. Now you read cadaver again, and it rock slams beautifully. Makes life more interesting, doesn't it? Well, it merely gives us some of the reasons why you do what you do. And the answer to that, of course, is you get a list down to the last three or four items, and then you take the remaining items out, not by elimination, but by tiger drill. You got that? You don't eliminate the last three simply by calling them off with commit overts and that sort of thing. You take the last three and you tiger drill them. And then you test them with would it commit overts against or some such thing. And then you will see whether or not it is actually rock slamming, not because the PC has a withhold on that item. You understand that? Now, because there are so many liabilities in this business, there are certain textbook formulas. Now, these textbook formulas will prevent you from making 98% of your mistakes. That's not choosing whether you opt term or represent. They won't totally eliminate that. But they'll eliminate 98% of your mistakes. Now, I said 98%. If you followed them perfectly, they would eliminate 98%, and then the other 2% will just come swinging in from Mars on an unpredicted wavelength. So you still got to audit alertly. In doing 3GA crisscross, then, the byword and password is be alert and be lucky. You're going to see some odd things happen to a PC, and if you don't catch the brass ring when you see them and do something about it, you're going to be out of luck. So it's a very nervy experience, and there's no substitute for experience. It's nerve-wracking. Therefore, there are certain textbook activities go on in this particular procedure, such as, I got caught with this one the other night and ceased to be cocky about it, 100%. Took all the wind out of my sails. After all I've argued with people about not completing 3D crisscross lists, after all of the enamel chipping and jaw chomping that I have done on the subject, say, help me, I didn't get a list complete. Oh, and that should happen. And I didn't get a list complete. And at the end of the session, picked up the fact as a missed withhold. And having worked all that session to undo all of the mess, which was constantly occurring, see, dirty needle and everything else occurring in this thing. I finally find out where it comes from. List wasn't complete. Well, I hadn't even really been careful to complete that list, so I actually earned exactly what I got. It looked complete. It was apparently complete by test, but I didn't test it very hard. So I sighed, and I said, the next time I do this, I will be guided by 3D crisscross rules of complete list. Now, we can actually increase and improve those rules today. So the rules of listing actually go as follows. You list everything the PC can give you easily. And when he tells you that's it on a list, you don't keep chanting the auditing command any, because some PCs will go on an automatic, you know, of answering the auditing command every time it's asked. Did you realize that? You see, you're not doing prep checking. Now, that's the first habit you've got to get out of in listing. You're not prep checking. You're not sitting there waiting for the PC to say, no, that's the last one, you understand? And if you ask the question every time, some PCs just go on an automaticity of answering the question. They haven't got any more items, but they just keep answering it because it's being asked. Do you see that? So you'll find yourself occasionally shutting the PC off, just letting him run down, rather than get some overbearingly long and meaningless list. Some PCs want to list 495 items every time you ask them one question. Well, that is unbearably embarrassing. I consider a complete list in this business of somewhere around 80, 90 items, but that won't hold good for all PCs. But I can tell when a PC is endlessly and arduously listing, and they're going to list it all and so forth. Well, in such a PC, I would tend to repeat the command less often. I'd sort of start omitting the command. The PC would eventually say, what was the command? And I would say, well, all right, good, that's fine. Now, let's make a test out of this. Just ignore the whole invitation to go on with this automaticity, don't you think? But you've got to have a complete list. So there is a rule that you can underscore. You've got to complete the list. But that doesn't mean an endless list done by the PC. It simply means a list that has discharged the charge. There's a phenomenon occurring here that if you list anything, the PC will have less charge on it. Now, there's also a danger here. You cannot go ahead and just list at random. You can list on the rock slam or near the rock slam with complete impunity because you're listing on the gold channel. You understand then? But just taking off from nowhere or from an arbitrary point that has nothing to do with anything and permitting the PC to list a long time on it is exactly the same as wrong goal. And every phenomenon that occurs in listing a wrong goal is liable to occur in listing 400 or 500 items with no rock slam from a no rock slam item, and then 400 or 500 items from another rock slam item, you know, no rock slam, there's no rock slam item has occurred, you know, and the next thing you know, your PCs start going to start going sen and wog and that sort of thing. So you have to keep some control of this listing. The whole operation consists of taking something on which the PC is likely to have overts against and making a list of it. And out of this, developing a rock slam. And then taking that list by assessment and finding the one item on it which really contained the rock slam. Now, the oddities are that you can make a list of things the PC is likely to have overts against. You can null that list and pick out the item, and we'll find that the rock slam has settled on one thing if it's complete. But if it's incomplete, of course, the thing that's least likely to be on an incomplete list is the item. You understand? Because a list completes rapidly after the item is put on it. So an incomplete list is less likely to have the item. You understand that? Why? Now, finding this item, we have something against which the PC has overts. Similarly, we could have something which was a terminal with which the PC has committed overts. Now, why overts? Well, the whole phenomena of rock slam and meter behavior is based on the overt withhold sequence. And a rock slam is the result of, as a meter representation, is the result of innumerable committed overts in a certain direction. And when you've got that certain direction isolated, that is to say the items against which the overts are committed isolated, you then have, of course, a rock slam. And there will be one thing that he has more overts on than others. Now, if he gave you a list of 80, which is pretty close to right, if he gave you a list of 80, he will actually have committed overts on all 80. But the reason he's committed overts on all 80 is A equals A equals A. He's identified them with one thing that he really commits overts on. And these are all of its cousins and sisters and brothers and aunts, you see? The odd part of it is getting a list of that character at all. But he of course, isn't inventing these things. He's just dealing them off the bank. Now, this whole thing is an interesting activity of doing clearing. You should look at it as to what it is. It is clearing without having found the goal. Now, it'd take you an awful long time to do it. And it is not well located or well centered or anything else. But in theory, you could go on finding these and finding these and finding these and finding these. And at the end of a few hundred hours, you would have found all of them. And your PC would have been sitting there clear. And then he tells you what his goal is. You see? So what you're doing is kind of a swindle here, you see? You're actually finding the items before you find the goal. See, now, in routine three, you're supposed to find the goal and then find the items. Well, why does this make such a difference to the PC? Actually, why doesn't he find his goal in the first place? That's because he's got so many overts and so many withholds that he himself doesn't know what it is, doesn't dare confront what it is, has lessened the overt so thoroughly, and has then withheld it even from himself to such an extent that he can't even tell you what his goal is. So this is the basic mechanism of how the PC's goal gets obscured in the first place. It gets overlaid with heavily charged items that the PC has used to commit overts with and things on which the PC has committed overts. The symbol of the rock slam is overt. Now, of course, as every overt or confusion is followed by stills, so the overt is followed by the withhold. So you can actually do this by withholds. You could do a dynamic assessment by withholds. You understand? But stills don't run well out of the bank. Because it'd be much less reliable, but it still furnishes you a test. After you found the overt, you can ask the PC what he wouldn't give it, and you'll get the slam back. See, because the slam was held in place by the overt. See, the slam is still residual as the withhold, even though you've gotten rid of the overt. Don't you see? So you can still pull this trick as a test trick. You understand? Let's say we've run all the slam off the bank against water bucks with overts. You know? Consider committing overts against water bucks. Slam, 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 slam. Proven good, reliable item. It all goes up in smoke. We don't know anything more about it. It's disappeared, and that's that. We could still get it to slam again by saying, what wouldn't you give a water buck? And of course, that's what would you withhold from a water buck, you see? And it'll go slam, 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 slam. But if you ask it very much, of course, it all blows up in smoke because there's no powder under it now. That one will wear right out. But you can at least see that it did slam at some time or another on overts. This will be useful to you sometime when trying to recover from some HPA's attempt to do 3GA crisscross who has run off the slam. It gives you nightmares sometimes. It's very hard to recover the entrances to slams when they are discharged. All right means someday we'll have a central division of some kind or another of what was my item, you know, and all goals and items and everything else when found are registered there at the central division, don't you see? And in extremis, why, you can always cable it and get the PC's reliable items. Anyway, such doesn't exist now, so you're left on your own. Now, the mechanism here, then, is the PC has lived, and being terminal A, has committed overts against opterm B. The effort, then, merely consists of locating the cousins, sisters, and aunts or character of opterm B, than listing this thing down in order to recover a slam. Because, of course, while being A and committing overts on B, he will produce on the meter the rock slam. And oddly enough, you can find A by just asking, that is the terminal, by just asking if it would commit overts. And it will slam. You don't even really have to have against anything. See? Now, would you commit overts, let's say the terminal is Waterbuck, and the op term Tiger, would you commit overts against a Tiger? Slam, 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 if the Tiger's a reliable item, you see? All right. That's fine. Thank you. Now, would a Waterbuck commit overts? Slam, 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 slam. You see? So therefore, a terminal will slam as well as an op-term. It's just how you word it. You must realize that the terminal commits the overt and the op-term receives them. Therefore, that will always give you the proper direction for your wording. Now, this is an interesting action then, because it goes down through some part of the GPM. Actually, if carried on to hundreds and hundreds of items, you recognize that, just speaking loosely, as far as items are concerned, that PCs list 10, 15,000 items to go clear. You realize that. So supposing that every 100 of those 15,000 items contained a key item that was really built in, terminal or op-term. See, that's 15,000. That gives you 150 items to find on the PC to make him go clear. And in view of the fact that you're going to be wrong at least 25% of the time, no matter how lucky you are, that means you will actually be running up the bank at something on the order of about 200 items, a lot of them meaningless, you see. And let's suppose you're an old soul poke and it takes you 2 hours. Why, your whole clearing activity then boils down to something on the order of 400 hours. See, that's far too much. And it's only theoretical that you could go the whole way. You understand that? Because after the slam is gone, you might not find yourself going any place at all. And then you'd have to shift gears and go by cognition, and you'd have to go by needle manifestations and little tiny slams, and you'd work your way through this thing most arduously. So, therefore, you'd make far more mistakes in the last half of the clearing than in the first half. So I'd say maybe you got about 500, 600 hours to clear going at it in this way. But recognize it as a clearing procedure. Now, a guy got all messed up because he had a goal. See, he wanted to do something. Somebody has already written in and said to me, well, now look, if the PC's goal is this important, shouldn't you look just a little bit earlier on and find the assertion? Now, I'll give you an idea what I mean, to catch catfish. Now, a little bit earlier, he must have had to assume that there were catfish to be caught. And therefore, you find the assertion that there are catfish, and therefore it would clear the PC much faster. Well, that's perfectly valid thinking, as long as you just think about it. That's perfectly valid, and I'm very glad that somebody was thinking about it at all. But, of course, that's the second goal he's talking about. So he's asking me, why don't you find the second goal before you find the first goal? Well, if he knew how much sweat it was on most PCs just to find the first goal, he wouldn't be worried about finding the second goal before you found the first one, because that's impossible. The second goal is totally detached from the third goal, and the third goal totally detached from the fourth goal. But the truth of the matter is, they tend to be solutions, one to a next. It's quite interesting. Second goal set up problems which the first goal, you know, I mean, we're speaking of the first goal we find, is a solution to. Catch catfish, well, it's some kind of a solution. A second goal is to make too much of everything. See, and it happens that its terminal, its chief terminal, is a catfish. So he gets down the track a while, and he all of a sudden has this brilliant inspiration. The way to remedy it all is to catch catfish. That'll solve the problem set up, you see, in his earlier goal. They aren't actually connected, and they will blow separately, which is the most marvelous thing about clearing that I know of. They will take separate stance, and they do blow separately, and so forth. But nevertheless, I have noticed that the second goal is solved by the first goal you'll find, and so on. Now, this piece of bank started up by to catch catfish resulted in the fellow being something that would catch catfish, and having assumed that identity, went about his business happily catching catfish until he ran into an upterm which said, "Thou must not catch catfish." Of course, you say, well, catfish is enough of an upterm. No, that sort of generally runs through the whole thing. And catfish aren't going to be solved totally by that goal. But he gets to a game warden, and the game warden says, "You mustn't catch catfish." See? So we've got PC, fisherman, game warden, see, is the upterm. All right, now that's all dandy, but he goes into some kind of an avoidance there of game warden. So county commissioner appoints a game warden, don't you see? So he gets the idea that he had better be a politician. See? And that sort of gets him around this upterm. And you get by these devious things and so forth. And then he finds out that economics inhibit the catching of catfish because the tackle is very expensive. You know, I mean, all kinds of wild things happen. So he picks up additional upterms and additional terminals, and he's still going on this goals line, but he's becoming different things, opposing different things, and different things are opposing him, see? And so you get this horrible muddle of little black balls, which you call a GPM. All right. Now, as this dance continues, you recognize this full of overts. He's getting motivators like crazy as a terminal, you see? And he's passing out overts like mad while being this terminal against other specialized and selected terminals. And the meter manifestation of all his activity is a rock slam. So all you got to do is follow the rock slam and you wind up with the later day things that, you won't wind up with the fundamentals. You'll wind up with the later day things, you know. Like world conqueror, you see, that was the ultimate of politician, you know. And nuthouse is the op term, because every time he says he wants to conquer the world, they tell him they're going to put him in the nuthouse, don't you see? And it's very funny, you look back on the item track of the PC after you have cleared him, and it all makes sense. Everything makes sense. It looks completely idiotic, though, to you, perhaps, while you were finding items. But they all make sense, and they are op terms, and they are terminals. Of course, the time we're doing this on most PCs, we don't know what the PC's goal is. But these things are so stacked on it that we can't find the PC's goal easily. The saving of time amounts to this. The PC's goal, we find it. Well, somebody sits down and he says, "What's your goal?" And he writes down five goals, and one of them rocket reads, and it goes bang, and he's got the PC's goal, and it's all set, and so he gets a free hello, and he's going to list the whole thing, and he gets down there, and he says, "Now, who or what would want to catch catfish?" And the PC says, and it rock slams, and so on, and it gets so on. He says so and so and so and so and so and so. Rock slams pretty bad. Tone arm starts up, and it's up, and there it is, five. It's just sitting at five. He found his goal. The tone arm is now sitting at five. What do you do about this? Just three GA crisscross. You don't even have to find out, you see, what he stuck on that made him go up to five. You just got to find an item that rock slams, don't you see? And then you will take the weight off the bank, and then because the weight is so great, his overts are so great in that direction, he dare not confront in that direction anymore. So he runs into this section of the bank and he says, "Oh, there's nothing there." Ha ha. Lessens the overts, see? Ha ha, no game wardens. Game warden, well, they're pretty unreal to me. Actually, game wardens really aren't part of existence, and I prefer not to associate with a game warden anyway. And there's no sense of putting that down in the list. So He starts dealing off old items. You know, it's a treadmill. He never deals you this item. His tone arm responses go up 4.5, 5, stick. Everything looked very mucky and muddy. Well, he couldn't confront it. He found his goal, but you've got such a thoroughly burdened bank that the PC can't run it. And you'll find that more than often is the case. So the safe way to do it is not to spend endless hours prep-checking goals, but find an item or two or three, and then check the goal again. Find the goal any way you want to. You see how that would be? You can take enough weight off of this rock slam. You can take enough charge off of his overts so that he can confront what he has overts on and then find out what he is while he's confronting overts against, and therefore he can list. You see the track he's trying to list through. You see the game he's trying to list through. The complexities of it all. All right. Now, as we enter the case, on some cases we'll find the goal more easily than we will find an item. And the goal isn't real, and neither are items. But that's beside the point. We arrive at the toughest end of 3GA crisscross, which is its beginning. Now, oddly enough, the toughest end of every case is its beginning. And the toughest end of any procedure is its beginning. And this is very sad, because at that end of the game, we, of course, know the least about the PC. The toughest part of auditing should be down toward the end of the intensity, wouldn't you agree? It never is. It's right there in the first session. See, the PC has to be in the best possible condition to handle this, but we find him at this stage of the beginning, you see, in the worst possible condition, case-wise, to handle it. And all this is very unfair because it makes the auditor's job much tougher. A case, of course, should always be clear before you start auditing it. Well, turning on the rock slam is the first difficulty that you will run into in 3GA crisscross. Now, in some cases, it's dead easy. You give them a sec check, a rock slamming sec check, and they just drop it in your laps. The thing is slamming like mad, and one of the things you used on the sec check was it. Well, you got your first item, and you just do what you do with it and carry on, and there you are. That's easy. Some other case, you sit there and you try this and you try that and you try something else, and there's no rock slams. Now, there is a method which will undoubtedly be espoused by the American Psychiatric Association if after it goes nuts and is dealing in one of its spin bins and trying to clear itself. Well, of course, for the auditor to beat the PC often enough and long enough for the PC to develop a rock slam on the auditor. But this is not advised, because all it's going to do is wind up as its basic with the first session. And you were there anyway. So you might as well not take that excursion at all. The thing to do is to get the PC in session. It's your first action. Because if this PC is suppressing like mad and throwing his rudiments out like mad, you're never going to see a rock slam. It's going to start to turn on, it's going to turn off. The PC is going to suppress before anything occurs, because a rock slam can suppress out of existence. Careful of can turn off a rock slam, and particularly protest. Protest, I have found, is a very hot button on rock slams. You get off the protest, and then you get off the careful of, and then you get off the suppressed, and you usually have your rock slam back. But protest is very vital in turning off rock slams. Now, how do you turn it all on? Well, the first thing, get the PC in session. The next thing, there could be many steps, and there are several different methods. The easiest PC would be one that you simply say, List the dynamics or parts of existence. He does, you assess it, and you've got your first rock slam. Next type of PC, next grade up. Who or what have you detested? They give you a list, it rock slams, you've got one of the persons there, and you've simply got your first item, and you go on and use it. Another PC, not quite as easy as this, is you sneak up on him by what do you wish hadn't been part of existence, or some such phrase, and then get what isn't part of existence. And he gives you a long dissertation on what isn't part of existence. You get a long list. One of those items rock slams like crazy. You're in and you got your first item. Now let's take a slightly upgraded PC from this and let's get what would you prefer not to associate with? Or what wouldn't you want to associate with? That is another entrance point. And you make a list of these things the PC wouldn't care to associate with, and you will find there your rock slam at the final end of this. Now, there are undoubtedly other approaches to this. We do not know them at this particular time. There are undoubtedly gradients that carry us in further on this particular road. But those are the various approaches that you can use to turn on a rock slam on a PC straight from scratch. Now, how do we write this list? That might take up a little bit of interest here. We sit down, we put the PC in session. We've got the PC well in session, well under the auditor's control. We take a piece of legal length paper, that's 13 inch by 8 or something like this, 13 inch long paper, and we write the list in a single column is usually best. It gives you lots of latitude. Some people who write very small can get two columns on the page with the greatest of ease. But if it gets too scrimpy and too small, why, the auditor starts having trouble, and the next auditor that picks it up could shoot the last auditor that did it if he's having to re-null something. So actually leave some space for things to happen. All right, so you write it like this. You write the PC's name, you write the date, and you write the question that you're asking the PC to get this list. Now, that is vital, because if anybody, including you, is ever going to make sense out of what's been going on with this PC, you're going to need those data. You're going to need the date, the PC's name. We don't care who the auditor is. We can't read it. We still know who you are. I mean, we're getting to be terrific deciphering calligraphers or something like that in Scientology. Man, you talk about cryptography. We'll be getting orders any minute from the Royal Navy to decipher the Japanese codes. We're getting good, you know. I mean good. You'd think so if you could look at some of these lists. It's all written in Arabic. We're getting things. Anyway, you write those data. Now, when you turn the page over, of course, to write on the back side of it, and it's perfectly good, and you should use the back side of that page. It's, of course, pure idiocy to repeat the question and the PC's name and the date. But how about page 3? So you don't write anything on the back of page 1, but you do write the figure 3 and the question. That gives you a consecutive series for page 3, don't you see? Somebody can see that 3 and they know there's a missing first page. Then they can find all the brutal data from the first page, don't you see? Because in the speed of writing up things, you don't want to delay too much, but it's very easy to write 3 in the question, isn't it? Then you can add it up because you know there's a page. Well, supposing it goes over to another list. Of course, you go on the back of this list. You don't write anything on the back of this list. Now you go to 5, don't you? And on 5, you'd better write the question again. That makes all these lists join up beautifully. You don't number 2, you don't number 4, don't you see? You don't date those things and so on, because that just holds up the PC. You get how that system works. I think you find that's very serviceable. Your lists actually seldom go beyond page 5 if you're doing any kind of a job of watching what the score is at all. You keep repeating the question to some PCs, and the PCs will keep on giving it to you. And then on some PCs, you will get a 200 or 300 list to make it a complete list and all that sort of thing. All that's allowed for. Now, when you null this list, your administration should actually, to keep you from making mistakes as you're flying along the line, your administration should be multiple color. And the best way to handle this is the first time you go down the column, just to use the pen that you wrote the thing with. I've been using various versions of this and how easy it is or is not to spot. And this is the one I've been using lately and finding it's working very well. I also have to work out administration while I'm doing these various things. Because, see, other people read these lists besides you. And if we don't standardize, then the next auditor can't make head nor tails out of what went on. All right. Now, you see, it's important that there be next auditors, particularly if you're finding goals and somebody else is listing the goal. This character will want to know what cooked here, because he may have to take off in the middle of something and do something about it, don't you see? Or some other goals finder may have to pick this thing up, and he'll want to know what went on, see? And you may have left it at a dead end or something and then listed the goals against your last reliable item, but that wasn't good enough to carry the listing through. They want to find some more items. They've got the guy's goal, but they've got to find some more items. Well, they certainly better know where it all to stop, don't you see? Well, you put slant marks, just the plain slant mark for everything that is in the color pencil that you wrote the list with, and then everything that is out, you put an X. Your next time through, grab a red ballpoint. You actually could carry it on through with a red ballpoint. The second time through, if it's out, you put a full X. That leaves you there with things that are still in, glaringly apparent, don't you see? And it also, by the time you'll find out, by the time you've got two or three slants or across, three slants and across after several items on a page, it gets very hard to pick out if there are any still there. And you know, we've had some cases bogged down in the past with 3D crisscross just because the auditor didn't follow this very stupid point. There's two items in on this sheet that are still in. And the auditor never nulled them. The whole thing went bluey, and he couldn't find the goal, and all went up in smoke. And then Mary Sue go over the thing again. He says, there's two in. It was one of those. See, he just missed it completely. It was sitting in the middle of the page. So this color code system is pretty good. I haven't ever bothered to carry it on into a green flash system after it, but you could. Now, how do you call a list? That's your most interesting thing. I've given you the headings of these lists. Prefer not to associate with all these other headings, one kind or another. You ask the PC to list these things. Well, you actually just ask the question, and he gives you a flock of answers, and you ask the question again, or he wants you to ask the question again, and you do, and he gives you some more answers. And then the needle, you're watching it all the time. Now, the best way to handle this on a meter is to pull your sensitivity down. Pull your sensitivity down so that you don't have to be adjusting this tone arm all the time. You got the idea? You don't pull it down to one or anything crazy like that, but you just bring it down. That'd be very important to you when you get to a Mark V. And it flies around so doggone much that you have to put it on a lower sensitivity than you would use to null, don't you see? And remember, then the rock slam won't be so big. So you sit there with one thumb on the thing and your other hand wrapped around the pencil writing this list, keeping that thing in center, and watching the moment before the PC says it. Watching the meter the moment before the PC says it. See if there was a slam. You understand? And every time you write down an item, you put after it, if it slammed, RS. And if it's just a little dirty needle turned on with it, you just went bzz, bzz, you write DN. And if the PC volunteers that he had some pain on it. You're not terribly interested in this. But if the PC volunteers he had some pain on an item or sensation on an item, why, you don't pester the PC for that data while he's listing, by the way. I see some of you have been. Write it, PN, and send. You're much more interested in the aggregate pain and sin of the whole list, or a sudden pain or sensation that turned on. PC all of a sudden is going, whoa. You say, what's the matter? Well, my legs just from the waist down just went hot as fire. You say, well, when did they go hot as fire? And try to trace it back up the list to what item turned it on, and then mark it over here as a very likely item because the somatic is one of your indicators. Got it? PC tells you they're uncomfortable. You ask the PC and they say they are. Trace it back to where it turned on. That's good procedure. You don't go nulling back there. You just say, all right, when? And PC eventually tell you. And remember, the PC nearly always tells you one or two late. It's on item 83 on your list. You don't number these items, by the way. And actually, the PC says it turned on item 83. That was when he noticed it. It might also have been 82 or 80, don't you see? So you kind of watch that closely. It gives you an indicator. Sometimes on a dynamic assessment, a somatic will turn on, or a sensation, more likely a sensation, will turn on so shatteringly when you hit the dynamic. There isn't any thought of going on with the session. The PC's practically booted out of his chair, don't you see? And you just better take care of that right now. You better listen to the PC about it, and you better hear about this, and you better hear how it turned on, and you better mark it down very adequately on your report, and you persuade the PC. Now, without invalidating this item or abandoning or anything like that, of course, have to null the rest of the list. Is that all right with you? And you go on and null the rest of the list and then cope with it afterwards. Do you understand? But every once in a while, you got an item, bang, he thinks the roof fell in. And that's a terrific indicator. It almost always is the item. All right. Now, just your administration of this should be fairly neat. And somebody should be able to read these lists. But how do you call this list off? All right. If it is an op-term list, it's consider committing overts against. Or to shorten it up, overts on. Consider committing overts on. Now, that's a mouthful, but you're not going to be able to get away with it. I made several tests of just calling it off all by itself, and I found out that I missed the boat when I did that on op terms. So op terms are always called with consider committing overts against, or think of doing bad things too. You could also say, would you do bad things too? Or would you commit overts on, or would you commit overts against? It's what registers with this PC, what makes sense. So there's variations of this, but they all carry the connotation of consider committing overts against. Because it's the overts against that are going to turn on the slams. Now, you've got a checkpoint, consider withholding things from, and you are going to get the same responses on your assessment, but it's not going to discharge it as well. You understand? Once consider committing overts against is all worn out on this item, you can always say, think of withholding things from, and you'll get the slam back. You see, they're both sides of the same coin. You see that? All right, so an op-term list is always called in this particular way. Now, a terminals list can be called directly. Or very involvedly. It can simply, you just call it. You know, waterbuck, tiger, cat, dog, fire warden. See? And register the instant reads. That's a terminals list. You just go bark, 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 bark down the line. Because it gets very involved to say, would a, whatever your item is on the list, commit overts against a tiger. Because nearly every one of them turns on a slam. How do you pick a slam out of all those slams? Because one of the characteristics of slams is they are persistent. You understand? Now, one of the best ways to sort this thing out so it doesn't slam is to put the terminal it's against, if you're repeating that terminal every time, before the sentence. On tigers would waterbucks commit overts. On tigers would fire wardens commit overts. See? That's if you're calling the whole sentence. You'll find that's one of the most desirable phrasings. Because you get rid of the tiger's rock slam, and then you just pick up general rock slam that turns on either with the item itself or overts against. But overts itself occasionally slams, so picking your way through it is quite interesting. But fortunately, with your meter turned up to a very high sensitivity, you can read them once and take any instant read on a terminal. You cannot do this for an upterm. A terminal's list can be bark, 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 once each. You understand? Now, consider committing overts against, you see, any such phrasing as this can also be read just once if you're an old Sharpie on a meter. Now, if you're not sure, for God's sakes, don't fake it, just read it again. Now, do you tell the PC if it's in or out? No, you don't. The more words you can get the hell out of audit and kick them out. Now, would a waterbuck commit overts against a tiger? Thank you. Would a waterbuck commit overts against a tiger? Thank you. Would a waterbuck commit overts against a tiger? Thank you. That is out. How long did it take me to say that? A shocking length of time. Multiply it by 80 and you'll see why it takes you a week and a half to find an item, see? All right, we got an upterm list, see? And it's got tiger on it. And right after tiger, why, it's got carnivori. We say, consider committing overts against a tiger. Consider committing overts against a carnivori. Now, where's the that's in? Where's the thank you? Where's the, what the hell with it? He's got all the thank yous he needs. How does he know if it's in or out? Won't that develop you a dirty needle? Only after a while you get bright enough to find out that your pencil goes flick, flick when it's out and flick when it's in. They smarten up quick. In other words, you can read them once. There's no thank you. There's no that's in, that's out. We're talking about this peculiar type of nulling. This doesn't alter nulling and doing other things in other departments of the game. See, this is talking about 3GA crisscross. In other words, it's bark, 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 new one every time, you know. And then all of a sudden, consider committing overts against a fire warden. Didn't miss that, you know. You don't say, well, I'm awfully sorry, PC. I'm awfully sorry. Come out of your boil off. I'm awfully sorry that I missed that. I think I should have watched the meter more closely. And if it's all right with you, I better run some havings first. Oh, I'll run some havings first. That's not the way you do it at all, see? You say, consider committing overts against a fire warden. Didn't read it. See? You didn't read it, but you don't say anything at all. You just say, consider committing overts against a fire warden. Consider committing overts against a fire warden. So, you didn't get the first time, so you read it twice. PC knows you're reading it twice and going to read it again because his mind very rapidly gets educated the fact you don't go slant, slant. He hears your ballpoint go scrape, scrape, slash. You got the idea? Well, that's how you pick it up to an hour and 10 minutes to list and find the item, see? Now, that requires very, very reliable meter reading because you missed the key one and you've had it. You shouldn't have gotten out of bed at all that morning. The PC now has a missed withhold, and the PC has this, the PC has that, and everything has gone to hell in a balloon. Now, the upshot of all this auditing culminates in a reliable item. a reliable item. That can be an opterm or a terminal. And that meant one that it slams when you found it. It slams in the same session that you found it. It doesn't have to slam the next day. It reliably slams, and that means found. You completed the whole nulling, and that one slams. You completed the whole nulling, and that one now slams, and that is the proven item. That is your last reliable item. Next day doesn't have to slam, never has to slam again, to the end of time. Because, of course, you've discharged the slam off, and it'll be rapidly transferred onto something else at the moment you start listing. It's got to find it that day, though. See, and it had to slam very nicely, and then you mark it down there on the report in letters of fire that item slammed and how wide it slammed and how long it slammed. Now, one that slams just twice is something that the PC had been passed out. You can't tiger drill it back on again. That's not good enough in the session, see? Because you should be able to get that slam on and off. You should be able to regulate that slam with a tiger drill. You understand that? It's not enough to have it go slam, slam while you're listing, and then never slammed again and didn't slam at the end, and you call that an item. You'll be up in soup. All the way down the list, you've got an item slamming, slamming, clear to the end. You've got an item slamming. You go over it again, you don't have a slam in the whole lot. Hey, it's... You say, what happened? Nothing happened except the PC's rudiments may be out, but the fact of the game is because the PC was saying them while you were listing them, put the PC on the other side of the fence, and now when you're nulling them, you don't get slams back on. So don't let it worry you when something doesn't slam again while you're listing. Only start worrying if it doesn't slam at the end of the activity. Then you should start worrying. No slam on the list. You understand that? You don't have to get slams back. What do you expect this list to do? Just stay preserved in wax till the end of time? What do you think was happening while you were listing? You were listing a slam off. It very often puzzles you because you go by a rock slam. It listed it and you marked it RS. And you go by nulling it and it doesn't RS. There's many an auditor here then spends the next half an hour fooling around trying to get that to RS. Nah, to hell with it. Don't bother with it. So it didn't RS. So what? Make fairly sure your middle rudiments are in and carry on. That doesn't mean you get your middle rudiments in just because it didn't RS either. You just go sailing down the list. You're only interested in a rock slam on the last item. It's the only rock slam you're interested in. You want that thing to slam. Oddly enough, you can instant read it all the way through on a terminals assessment, just calling the item. No consider overts. Get down to the last three. Tiger drill the last three, on this item, so-and-so. Has anything been suppressed, and add protest to your tiger drill. And get that all tiger drilled off, and then I'll say, all right, would a water buck commit overts on a tiger? Slam, 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 slam. Great. Do the next two, see? There's no slam in those. They just clean up and disappear. You got your item. Slam, 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 slam. Not sup slamming. Don't say to the PC, what the hell did you do? What kind of a PC are you anyway? What are you doing, I found out that doesn't take. PC begins to self-audit if you do too much. The thing for you to do is tiger drill it again. And then use Big Tiger. Start using Big Tiger when the PC's pulling tricks on you, see? Not suppress is one of the things. Not careful. Careful. All of a sudden, you suddenly wake up and realize you aren't saying committing overts. That's the thing that produces the slam, You have to say committing overts. Ah, yes. Well, would a water buck commit overts against the tiger? Slam, 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 slam. That's fine. Slams went off and came on and goes off and... you mark it down in your auditor's report, and you say, reliable item, in your red pencil in the middle of your blue report. You say, reliable item, tiger. There it is. Underscore it. Never has to slam again to the end of your days or anybody else's, and probably won't. You understand? But you've got the last reliable item. Now, why do you want the last reliable item? Very simple. There's the law of the last reliable item. What do you do when you followed the rock slam to a dirty needle and went off the deep end of the cliff and you are now nowhere and the PC's ARC broken, disinterested, and all life has turned green and gorgeously bilious? What do? You return to the last reliable item and do something else with it. Second rule is, there are two things you can do with an item. You can oppose one or represent one. If you have opposed one, the other thing you can do is to represent. If you oppose one and don't get a slam, then you can represent and down to a slam. In other words, if you've done one, you now do the other. If you've done one with no result, you now do the other. And you'll probably get your result. Now, items that are listed on oppose are always reversed. You say, would a water buck, you know, who or what would oppose a tiger, you know, and who or what would a tiger oppose? You always call them both ways. You make two lists, treat it as one list when you null it, but reverse your consider committing overt's command if you're doing it that way, or if it is a terminals list, just call it one shot, you know, one item at a time on the way down. Mark any instant read as in. In other words, you get two lists out of an oppose. Would a water buck, in other words, who or what would oppose a tiger, and who or what would a tiger oppose? And you'll always catch the brass ring in that particular fashion. Now, inert, this is the law on this, inert items are represented most of the time, and active, emanating items are opposed. And you won't go very far wrong by doing that. You ask the PC, PC sometimes doesn't know. Well, do one or the other. You'll only be 50% of the time wrong. You see how this is. In other words, you represent an inert item, something that is not active. Dumb bunny, there's a good inert item. So you represent dumb bunny. Supposing you come to the end an ox head. All right, now you represent an ox head. Don't you see? Because it's still inert, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself sitting there with an active item. So you oppose it. Got the idea? A spitting cat. Oppose. Get the idea? Shotgun. Oppose. See? And most of the time you'll be right. Part of the time you'll be wrong. What do you do when you go off the deep edge? You use the rule of the last reliable item. That's a very reliable rule. The last one that you could really count on, you represented and it wound you up nowhere. Ha-ha. Go back and oppose it. Supposing you neither get a represent nor oppose off of it and it all goes to hell, then you go back to the last reliable item before that. Got it? An item may rock slam and not be accompanied by cognition. Very doubtful. Very doubtful. You'll get sensation on op terms, pain on terms. You will get a rock slam and a cognition. In other words, the pain or sensation, depending on whether it's a terminal or op terminal, and in addition to that, the rock slam, and in addition to that, PC's interest and cognitions. And that's what it takes to make an item. If you follow that on down and you either oppose or represent against the rule of whether it's inert or emanating, you'll find yourself following the rock slam, and you will do a very lock for the PC, and eventually you will find that an item you get to rocket reads, unless the PC has something against going clear. But I will take that up in another lecture. Thank you very much. Good night.